Welcome back, I'm James.
And I'm Lisa. Today, we're talking about one of the most impactful tools in a teacher's toolkit, feedback. Specifically, how to make it effective and meaningful for students.
Right. Feedback is something every teacher gives, but not all feedback hits the mark. So, Lisa, let's start with the basics. What makes feedback effective?
Great question, James. Effective feedback boils down to a few principles. It has to be timely, specific, and action-focused. It should also help students reflect on their own learning, not just fix a mistake in the moment.
That's interesting. Let's break that down. When we say timely, what does that look like in practice?
It means students need feedback while they're still in the process of learning, when they can act on it. For example, returning a short assignment within 24 to 72 hours, or even better, giving quick verbal cues during class. Imagine a teacher pulling aside a student after a lesson for a two-minute chat about their essay structure.
I like that. It's about keeping the feedback loop tight so students don't lose momentum. But what about being specific? I've seen a lot of vague comments like good job or needs work.
Exactly, James. Vague feedback doesn't help students understand what they did well or what to improve. Specific feedback points to the exact part of the work and names the skill or knowledge involved. For instance, instead of saying needs work, you could say, in paragraph 3, your topic sentence is clear, but the evidence doesn't link back to the claim. Add one sentence explaining how your quote supports the claim.
That's a game changer. It gives students a clear direction. Now, you mentioned action-focused feedback earlier. Can you expand on that?
Sure. Action-focused feedback, or what some call feed-forward, gives students concrete next steps to improve. For example, you might say, revise your introduction. 1. Add a one-line context. 2. Tighten your thesis to one sentence. And 3. Reorder points A and B so they build logically. This way, students know exactly what to tackle next.
I love the term feed-forward. It shifts the focus from just evaluating to actually guiding improvement. But how do we make sure feedback aligns with learning goals?
That's where rubrics and clear criteria come in. Feedback should always tie back to the learning objectives. For example, if the goal is to analyze cause and effect, your feedback might highlight how well a student explained those relationships, using a rubric to show where they fall on a scale and what they need to do to improve.
It sounds like rubrics aren't just for grading, they're a communication tool. But let's talk about tone for a moment. How do we ensure feedback is constructive and not demotivating?
Tone is crucial. Start with what's working, acknowledge their effort or something they've done well. Then, be honest but encouraging. For instance, you could say, strong start, your explanation is clear. I know this section is tricky, so try using the scaffold I've sketched below. And if the feedback is more corrective, keep it private to avoid embarrassment.
That's such a simple yet powerful shift, starting with what's working. It helps build trust and keep students open to feedback. Now, what about promoting metacognition? How can feedback help students think about their own learning?
Great point. Metacognition is about students evaluating and regulating their own learning. You can encourage this by asking reflective questions like, "What helped you most here?" or "What will you do differently next time?" Another strategy is to have students predict their performance before you grade and then compare their predictions to the actual results.
I like that. It turns feedback into a two-way conversation. Speaking of conversations, should feedback always be written, or are there other modes we should consider?
It depends on the task and the student. Conversational feedback works well in class. Think quick coaching or mini conferences. Written feedback is better for complex tasks like essays, where you can provide detailed annotations. And don't forget peer feedback. Train students to use rubrics and give constructive comments to each other.
Peer feedback is such a time saver, and it teaches students to assess work critically. Now, let's talk about what to avoid. What are some common pitfalls with feedback?
Good question. Avoid giving only grades with no comments. Students won't know how to improve. Also, Steer clear of vague praise or blanket criticism. And don't overload students with too many suggestions at once. Stick to 1 to 3 actionable points.
That's a great reminder. Less is often more when it comes to feedback. Before we wrap up, do you have any quick routines or strategies teachers can try this week?
Absolutely. Here are 3. First, at the end of each lesson, use a 2-minute traffic light activity where students hold up green, yellow, or red cards to show their understanding. Second, start your next lesson with a diagnostic opener, like a single question that reveals prior knowledge. And third, when returning homework, highlight 1 prioritized fix and give students 48 hours to resubmit with a short reflection on what they changed.
I love how practical those are. Simple strategies, but they can make such a big difference. Any final thoughts, Lisa?
Just this. Feedback isn't just about correcting mistakes. It's about helping students grow as learners and thinkers. When done well, it's one of the most powerful tools we have to improve both their learning and our teaching.
Well said. Thanks and keep inspiring those young minds.